بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر، وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر؟ ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Respected friends and elders, it is the great fadl, grace and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us that alhamdulillah once again we find ourselves witnessing a night and an occasion like tonight. The 21st night of Ramadan has once again dawned upon us, and as we are fully aware, tonight could potentially be Laylatul Qadr. Any one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan could be Laylatul Qadr, and Laylatul Qadr is the greatest night of the Islamic calendar. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was introducing the month of Ramadan to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, on the last day of Sha'ban, the famous lengthy hadith of Hazrat Salman radiallahu anhu, which we read in Ta'lim, in Fadail Ramadan, Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah quotes this hadith first, that khatabana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fi akhiri yawmin min Sha'ban. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed us on the last day of Sha'ban, and that is when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the month of Ramadan, or we can say introduced the month of Ramadan to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Before the month started, to create the awareness, to prepare the minds of Sahaba radiallahu anhum for what is coming. Because that person who is aware of what is coming, he is aware of that occasion and prepares adequately, then inshallah he will benefit. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time mentioned to the Sahaba, it's a lengthy hadith, but I want to focus on the first few sentences. Ya ayyuhan nas qad adallakum shahrun azim, shahrun mubarakun. O people, a great and a mubarak, blessed month has dawned upon you. It's shahrun azim, a great month. And shahrun mubarakun, a blessed month. The third sentence, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Fihi shahrun fihi laylatun khayrun min alf shahr." This is such a month which contains one particular night. In this entire month, there's just one night that is better than a thousand months. Before Ramadan commenced, 3 weeks before tonight, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions this to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, to create that awareness and to demonstrate the importance and significance of nights like tonight. And alhamdulillah, by and large, in our communities, we are aware of this. That is why, mashallah, today we are here gathered. Today, alhamdulillah, from today, Maghrib, there are mu'takifun, people who have come into the i'tikaf, for the sunnah i'tikaf. The primary objective of the i'tikaf is to search for Laylatul Qadr. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 1 month made i'tikaf in the first 10 nights. And then Jibreel alayhi salam told him Laylatul Qadr is still ahead, still coming. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made i'tikaf for the middle 10 nights. Then he was told that Laylatul Qadr is still coming, it's in the last 10 nights. And then he continued his i'tikaf till the end of the month. This shows us and illustrates to us that the primary objective of the i'tikaf is to search for Laylatul Qadr and to benefit from Laylatul Qadr. So mashallah, this information, this knowledge, this awareness has been created in our communities. Therefore we find an abundance of programs, whether it be i'tikaf programs, sunnah i'tikaf, nafil i'tikaf, you know, bayans after the Taraweeh Salah, late night programs, dhikr programs, dua programs, mashallah. All of this is taking place in our communities. To such an extent that if a person misses in one place, he can catch the next program somewhere else. It is happening with such tasalsul. and such system, and one after the other, alhamdulillah. Many, many parts of the world don't have this. Many, many parts of the world, they don't have any fiza of Ramadan. There is no environment. There is no awareness. There is no mahol created specially for Ramadan. In this month of Ramadan, I have experienced Ramadan in 4 countries. But there is no way outside the Haramain where we can say you can have an environment like you have here in this country. In Turkey, for iftar, there's nobody in the masjid. Maghrib salah doesn't even take place in the imam is not even there. In many of the masjids, obviously we don't go around hunting one masjid to another at iftar time. But for example, my local masjid, there is no Maghrib salah taking place in Jamaat. On one occasion, I found myself out and away, and there was one big masjid, which is actually one of my favorite masjids, that if I'm in that area, I would like to go to that masjid. It's a nice big masjid. I go there in anticipation, and inshallah here there will be some atmosphere. There too, dark, no lights on, nobody in the masjid, no salah taking place after the adhan. I'm saying this not for us to belittle the condition in other countries. I'm saying it for us to take a lesson and for us to value what we have here in front of us. Taraweeh salah in most of the masjids. Taraweeh salah is after Surah Fatiha, one ayah. 20 rakats, alhamdulillah, 20 rakats. But one ayat per rakat. Khatmul Quran takes place in a few masjids. If you want to attend the khatm of Quran in Taraweeh, then you must search on the internet. There's a special website where you put in your area and it tells you which particular masjid has khatm in Taraweeh. So from 8-10 masjids, you might find one masjid nearby you or a few kilometers away from you where you will have to go if you want to attend Salatul Taraweeh, where khatm of Quran is taking place. And if you look in our environments, in our areas, alhamdulillah, look at iftar, mashallah, before iftar, from asr to maghrib, people are in the masjid, ta'aleem is taking place, some bayan is being given, people are engaged in tilawat of Quran, dua is taking place, that atmosphere is there. Wallahi, this atmosphere, respected friends and elders, a man can spend his entire life paying for this. But you can never pay for it. You can never buy this. This doesn't come because of our, you know, because we deserve it, because of our eligibility. We were not born with the right to have this. It is Allah's fadl, Allah's karam, Allah's grace, Allah's special mercy that alhamdulillah we have this environment. After Fajr Salat and Ishraq, people sitting, reading Quran, making fikr for deen. Taraweeh Salah, you will get tired of counting the amount of places where khatam of Quran is taking place. Only in a 1 kilometer radius. 1 kilometer radius, how many places? Every masjid, and then classrooms, and in a school, and in somebody's home, in somebody's garage. Some venues, there's 2 and 3 places, 2 and 3 different spots, they're reading, making khatam of Quran. How fortunate we are, respected friends and elders. There was a time, in this country, I was told, I never saw that, it was before my time, that khatam of Quran in Taraweeh also never used to take place in our masjids. We hardly had huffaz to lead in Taraweeh Salah. Huffaz used to be brought and imported from Cape Town. The Muslims in Cape Town are much older, settled here in South Africa much before Muslims of Joburg and Durban. So alhamdulillah, they had the setup. They had huffaz, etc. So a hafiz used to be brought from there to lead and to have khatam of Quran in Taraweeh Salah. Today, 30, 40 years later, or we can say 40 years later, alhamdulillah, this is the picture, this is the scenario. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, keep it like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase this mubarak mahol that we have. It is no secret, you also know in the Haramain, Taraweeh Salah currently is taking place 10 rakats. Many other places in the Gulf, they may be reading 20 rakats, but they read shorter in many masjids. So they make one khatam over 2 years. In 1 year, half Quran is recited. The next year, the other half, and that's when the khatam takes place. Again, each of these people in their communities, in their countries, they are victims of their circumstances. So we are not here to judge them. But we as Muslims in this country, alhamdulillah, are also, we are beneficiaries of our circumstances. And we are great beneficiaries of our circumstances. How did this picture come about? How did this mahol, mashallah, and this fiza and atmosphere be created? There was a time when i'tikaf in the masjids, they used to pay someone. They used to pay, maybe the muazzin should be forced to sit in i'tikaf because there's nobody else. And if nobody sits for i'tikaf, it's sunnah mu'akkada ala al-kifaya. If nobody sits in i'tikaf, the entire community is sinful and responsible for that. Now, alhamdulillah, the masjids are full. Now, alhamdulillah, the lists are getting complete and the quotas are filled well in advance. This came with a lot of effort. And that is what I want you to realize and focus on. That we have the mahol, alhamdulillah, but what brought about this mahol? What brought about this mubarak fiza? It was the efforts of the ulama. It is a khas fadl of Allah, that Allah Rabbul Izzah had put us into ta'alluq and in contact with ulama-i haqq, ulama of the truth, ulama who strove to uphold the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because let us face it, every community is at mercy to their scholars. Whatever the scholar will tell them, that is what they are going to follow. If our ustads and our imams and our ulama had told us 10 rakats taraweeh is sufficient, there's no need for 20 rakats, we would have known no better. We would have been reading 10 rakats of taraweeh. If they told us, it's fine, let us just have one place for khatam of Quran, everywhere else you can read one ayah per rakat, make it easy, we would have thought that that is the norm. If our ulama told us at the time of iftar, remain at home, have your full meal comfortably and read your salah wherever you are, it's not necessary to come to the masjid. If our imams were not firm that when adhan of maghrib goes, 3 minutes later, 5 minutes later, the salah is going to start. If they were not firm on that, then what would have been our situation today? So when you see the knowledge, or when you see amal and practice in any community, that is the reflection of the ilm and the knowledge that was passed on to them. If the knowledge that was passed on in that community was pure and pristine, then their action also, inshallah, would be pure and pristine. But if that knowledge was tainted, if that knowledge that was passed on was corrupted, then their action also will be corrupted. There are places in the world where some scholars tell their followers, at the time of Sehri, if you are having your Sehri, and the adhan is called, generally many places adhan is called to signify the end of the Sehri time, meaning exactly at the end of Sehri time, the adhan of Fajr is called. So if you are still partaking of your Sehri and adhan is called, then it's fine. You can continue the meal and then start your fast. And they quote a hadith also, but a hadith that is misquoted. The hadith says, إِذَا حَضَرَ الْعَشَىٰ وَأُقِيمَتِ الصَّلَاةِ فَابْدَأُوا بِالْعَشَىٰ. That if your supper is being served, and the iqamat is being recited for the salah, then you can finish your meal and then join the salah. That is regarding fasting people at the end of the day. That is regarding a general situation, not a situation regarding Ramadan, and not specific to the Sehri time. But to suit one's whims, to suit one's belly, then he will twist the meanings of the hadiths, and that is what the people will follow. I heard this firsthand when visiting one country several years ago in Ramadan, that this is what is being told to the people. So if that was the situation here in our country, then where would we have been? That is why it is important for us to understand the value of the ulama. And important for us to understand that when an alim is firm on something, that this is the sunnah, this is how we want to implement it, then let us understand that this is what is right for us. Think to ourselves, that if whenever we objected to the imam, that Mawlana, the Taraweeh is too long, cut it short, or my son can't come to the maktab because he has to go for sports training, etc. And if the Molana kept on giving in, it's fine, you don't want to come to the madrasa, don't come. And if they gave in and they were lax regarding halal and haram, and if they were lax regarding Islamic finance, and if they were lax regarding the rules of the masjid, etc., etc., then what would have been our condition? There are places in the world where I have seen myself, the TV screen is put in the masjid because the masjid is on few levels. So to project the imam on another floor, the TV screen was put. Some may legitimize it. Abu Ulama don't allow that. Some may legitimize it so that people on that floor can see what posture the imam is in. But see where this leads to. I entered that masjid one day, and there was a group of youngsters who came in with their, in those days, that was pre-smartphone era. He came with some camcorder, and he connected it to the screen in the masjid. And he and his friends are sitting and they are watching something on the screen in the masjid. Watching a movie. It was a homemade movie of somebody's birthday party that they were playing and displaying on the screen inside the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are places, respected friends and elders, where people say, we have the screens in the masjid. Let us call the youngsters on Super Bowl night so that they can at least watch the Super Bowl in our environment, in the masjid, in the house of Allah, na'uzu billah. Or call them to the masjid, some places in Europe, when there's a major sporting event, some soccer final, let them come to the masjid and you know, be here in our environment. And if it is happening, that means their scholars are allowing it. So imagine if our ulama had to be lax in these regards, then what would have been our condition today, respected friends and elders? There are places where in the house of Allah, I've been to that masjid myself, karate takes place inside the masjid. They have a Eid flea market inside the masjid. This is what will happen to communities when they've got no leadership, when they've got no guidance, or they have no authentic guidance. Allah shukr, and all thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all praise to Allah, that in our communities we did not suffer that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired our ulama that they went and studied at the feet of their asatida, who taught them the pure and pristine deen. And when they came, they implemented it in our communities. So today, alhamdulillah, initially I was just focusing on the mahal of Ramadan. But everything, if you look at in our societies, your five daily salah is so easy. So many masjids. To send your child to a maktab to learn deen has become so easy. If you got any issue regarding marriage, it's become so easy. So many ulama to assist. If there's any dispute, then how do you separate between two partners in a most amicable manner? An alim is prepared to advise you properly. If there's some talaq related issue, there's somebody there who is available to advise you and to show you what is the proper way, what is the sunnah way. If you have a child, then what is supposed to be done in terms of the aqiqah, the tahniq, naming of the child? The alim is there to show you. At the time of janazah, he is there to conduct the ghusl, to perform the salatul janazah, to assist with the burial, to teach you how to do all of this. When it comes to your business matters, when it comes to consuming halal haram, when it comes to the zabiha and the slaughtered meat, etc., they were firm. They did not compromise. Today, alhamdulillah, we see the fruit and benefit of that. And my maqsad of saying all of this, respected friends and elders, is for us to understand that when our seniors, when our senior ulama are firm on certain stances, and when they are particular regarding certain things, then let us say to ourselves that they know better. They are the ones who have studied the words of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the ones who know the rules of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What they are teaching us and passing on to us is for our good. Because alhamdulillah, thus far, we have seen the good. Today what we are witnessing is undoubtedly the result and the effect of the legacy of our senior ulama. What the next generation will see, that will be based on what we do and how we conduct ourselves. The ulama of my generation, ulama who are of the generation maybe of my students, generally I advise them that if you are an imam in a masjid, you are ustad in a madrasa, in a maktab, whatever you are doing, do it with mashura with your seniors. keep that contact with that elder, because his experience, the wisdom that Allah has blessed him with, his knowledge of the history of this country, etc., you cannot earn that. My beloved father, rahimahullah, used to always mention, he says, experience is not something you can skip. You can't skip experience. So go to those who have that experience and that know-how as to how to impart that knowledge and how to imbibe in the society the practices of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the general people, the musallis, I encourage that your imam, your local alim, your local imam, even if he may be somebody young, hold on to him. Ask him for advice. Take his advice. Respected friends and elders, what we have here, like I'm saying, the legacy of the efforts of the ulama of the past few decades, is that a person is able to lead a perfect life as a Muslim. A perfect life. You may not, you know, progress in the political sphere, and you may not progress in any other aspect, but when it comes to the most important aspect of your life, your deen, then the setup and the legacy we have today allows every Muslim the chance, those who want it, it allows us the ability to lead the life of a perfect Muslim. Like I said, whether it comes to our salah, whether it comes to our zakah, whether it comes to the month of Ramadan and the rules of fasting, whether it comes to our Islamic education, how to conduct yourself as a Muslim in every situation, in the manner that is as close as possible to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have it. But what are we going to pass on to the next generation? So to value the advice and the stance taken by our senior ulama. And number two, respected friends and elders, to take advantage of what we have in front of us. We have these events taking place, mashallah, i'tikaf programs, Lailatul Qadr program, Hifz Jalsa, we have so many madrasas, there is so much taking place. Let us fit ourselves into this. Because how sad would it be that on one hand all of this is taking place, but somebody is being deprived. There are people who live in the Haramain, and I've met people like that. Man living in Makkah, and he says, I haven't seen the Kaaba for years. Lives in Makkah, but he hasn't seen the Kaaba because of his circumstance, Allahu Alam, he's working, etc. He hasn't seen. So you can be right there where everything is happening, but it's not happening for you. So like recently I met a person in Medina Munawwara, he gave me a lift. I was staying with a friend away from the Haram. So early morning, waiting for a taxi, hardly any cars going past. Then this person actually went past and then he stopped. And then he reversed, it was about 4 o'clock in the morning or so. Then he says, you want to go to the Haram? I said, yes. So speaking to him in Arabic, so I told him, I asked him how much. He says, no, it's fine, just sit. So alhamdulillah, he didn't charge me. It's a 15-minute drive to the Masjid Nabawi. And on the way we were speaking, and then he says, you know, I hardly go to the Haram. I stay in Medina. I work in Quba, my job is in Masjid Quba. But to go to the Haram is difficult. Sometimes months will pass and we don't go into the Haram. And he says, now, I actually had planned with my friend that we will both go for Fajr Salah to the Haram. But he was quite tired. So then we decided to shelve the idea. So I was going home. But when I passed you, I realized that you may be waiting to go to the Haram. So I said, okay, it gives me an opportunity. I will also go to the Haram. And in fact, when we came closer to the Haram, he actually initially thought he's going to drop me off and carry on home. But when we came closer, he asked for the time. So he said, Fajr Adhan is only about 20-25 minutes away. I might as well read my Salah here. So you can be living in Makkah and Medina, but how much tawfiq you get to benefit from the Haramain. So the same applies to us here, respected friends and others. We can be here, alhamdulillah. Like I'm saying, it's all happening. But to make it happen for ourselves, to put our children in the maktab, to send them to the madrasa, make our children huffaz, make them ulama, the facility is available. To come ourselves to the for salah, 5 daily salah into the masjid, to take part in the programs that are taking place during these last 10 nights and throughout the year. Let us also avail ourselves for this and benefit. If we will lead by example, inshallah we can hope that this legacy will last. And we will pass it on in practice at least to our children. And this fiza and this mahal inshallah will remain. Otherwise, respected friends and elders, It doesn't take long. And we say Rome wasn't built in a day, but you can demolish it within seconds. So like that, this mahal wasn't created within a day. It didn't take a decade. It took decades of effort. It took life, long effort of some ulama, gave their lives, alhamdulillah, sacrificed. And along the way, they had to tolerate a lot too. That people didn't understand why the Maulana is saying this. Why is he saying you must come to the maktab? Why is he being so firm that my child can't take off to study for exams for the school, for example? And why is the Maulana being so firm regarding halal and haram matters? And why is he being so firm? Deen is easy. So along the way, the alim also had to tolerate. Sometimes somebody passed a comment. Sometimes some father came to confront the ustad in the maktab, that why are you being so harsh on my child? Sometimes there may have been some, you know, nickname that was given to the imam and to the alim, etc. All of that was tolerated. But it was done to build up this society so that people like me and you can benefit. So now it is for us to maintain this, respected friends and elders. Gee, so it wasn't built overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day. This fiza, this atmosphere, this mahal that we have wasn't built overnight. Great effort was put by ulama. Great effort by those out in the effort of da'wat and tabligh. Great effort by the general masses as well, who supported the ulama. If the alim kept on speaking and you didn't listen to him, then too we wouldn't have reached where we are. Alhamdulillah, people listened, they implemented, they abided, they followed. And today, alhamdulillah, we have this. So it is for us to continue with these practices. It is for us to uphold this legacy that has been passed on to us by our seniors and our elders. And inshallah, then we can hope that it will last in the generations to come as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of understanding what we have. Allah give us tawfiq of valuing what we have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we keep on increasing and progressing and keep on getting closer and closer, and our mahal becomes more and more, you know, mubarak, more and more conducive for deen, more and more closer to the environment and mahal of Medina Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That will happen as long as inshallah we have a chain of authentic scholars and ulama to lead us, and as long as we have people in the first saf and second saf and the congregation who is prepared to abide and prepared to follow and prepared to listen and implement and practice what is being taught to them from the minbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.